Rising above. As a young girl, I went to the beach with friends and plunged into the water. Too soon, the waves were over my head, and non-swimmer that I was sinking. I came up flustered and sputtering, only to sink again. I was helpless. I couldn't do anything on my own to get above the waters. Then suddenly, strong arms lifted me above the water and dragged me to a safer place. To this day, I don't know who it was that saved me from certain drowning, but he was there when I needed him, and he helped me to rise above. What about you? Have you had moments when you were sinking beneath the waters of pain as grief, fear, and failure threatened to pull you under? Perhaps you felt like you were drowning in a mountain of debt with no way to cover all the bills and get ahead. Maybe you have too many terrible things hitting you at once and you can't seem to get your feet safely under you again. Or a friend has suddenly said all manner of ugly things to you or about you, and you're reeling from the stab in the back. We can name all kinds of things that cause our pain, and they're sharp and real and staggering. Surgery is needed, but of the spiritual kind that goes deeper than anything a human doctor can fix. Have you been there? Do you know what I mean? Experts say when we face emotional trauma, we go into fight, flight, or freeze mode. The unfortunate thing is that we can stay in these reactionary positions and life's journey becomes fixed upon that singular event. Or we might develop these reactions whenever similar events happen again. The truth is that bad things happen to all of us and these events change us in fundamental ways. For some, there are negative consequences like drug abuse, violent behavior, or defeated self-esteem. But for others, they claim it has brought them a greater inner strength, closer relationship with family and friends, and a more meaningful perspective on life and their purpose. Researchers have called this post-traumatic growth. One professional athlete, an extreme skier, suffered an almost fatal accident. Despite serious time in recovery and the knowledge that her beloved athletic career was over, she found an entirely new and fulfilling purpose. This was similar for my son Aaron, who also suffered a serious skiing accident, suffered through extensive surgeries, and is still in constant pain, yet has found a great new career as a drone specialist. Their experiences speak to the quote, "The greatest glory in living lies not in never failing, but in rising every time we fall." Rising above requires that we not allow ourselves to be hurt or controlled by the trauma in our lives, but to rise above the storm and find the sun ready to illuminate our lives and cast away the darkness. The Apostle Paul searched for the sun during his first Roman imprisonment when, under armed guard, he wrote letters to the churches in Ephesus, Philippi, Colossae, and to his friend Philemon. To the Ephesians, Paul instructed them to work with enthusiasm and to stand firm in the spiritual battle. To the Philippian church, he encouraged them to rejoice in the Lord, as it will safeguard their faith. They are to stay focused and strong to reach that heavenly prize and to pray and remain thankful. To the Colossians, he wrote, "I'm glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I am participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body, the church." He also advised them that they are raised to new life with Christ and should set their sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Why? Because they've died to this life and their real life is hidden with Christ in God. To his friend Philemon, he recommended that he show kindness and forgiveness to his now redeemed slave Onesimus, as they were both now servants of Christ Jesus. As he told his protege Timothy, Paul is saying to each of the church members, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved as a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Paul seemed to share the sentiments of civil rights activist Martin Luther King Jr., who advised, little minds are tamed and subdued by misfortune, but great minds rise above them. No wonder Paul could write, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. He is our God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. To focus on Jesus, we have to take our eyes off the storms of life and let Him create a new pathway for our thoughts and our actions, as Paul told the Romans. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And even when our shoulders sag and our thoughts stutter, we can rest with the writer of Hebrews, who says, Jesus is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. He's praying for us always. We are never alone. Nothing expresses rising above our circumstances better than Isaiah 40, verse 31. And the picture of the soaring eagle explains it best. But they await for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. When Isaiah wrote this, he knew his people had almost given up hope of rescue. They faced political oppression from the Assyrians, who had swept in and conquered their land. They felt abandoned and alone. That's why Isaiah wrote to them, "Oh Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles?" Or, "Oh Isaiah, how can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of His understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion, but God does not, and neither will you." Isaiah compared their rising above, their adversity, to the flight of an eagle. He knew the Hebrews revered the eagle, thinking of them as mighty warriors who cared fervently for their young. Predators didn't frighten them, fierce storms didn't upset them, because they could rise above their enemies and find safety in their flight above the storms. Centuries earlier, Moses had compared God to an eagle, saying, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself, for they were God's treasured possession." Eagles are one of God's most majestic creatures. He equipped them with keen eyesight, enabling them to see clearly for long distances, up to 3 to 4 times farther than humans. And eagles can see another eagle soaring nearly 50 miles away. In long flights, eagles catch thermal updrafts that enable them to reach up to 75 miles or 121 kilometers per hour. That wise strategy is why God recommends we become like these birds, because they can float effortlessly at great heights over long distances and not become tired. When we clumsily try to flap our wings against the current, we tire ourselves out and sink to the earth, feeling like we can't rise again. But if we imitate the eagle, we'll rise on the wings of the Spirit who gives life. And the troubles of this world will become a minor affliction and more manageable, because we can take heart that Jesus has overcome them. Seeing things from God's perspective, we see God's blessings and realize that even our sufferings can become a good and perfect gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. King Solomon advises that the godly may trip 7 times, but they will get up again, because one disaster is enough to overthrow the wicked. Johnny Erickson Tada learned this when, at 17 years old, she happily dived into shallow water and fractured her spine, instantly becoming paralyzed from the shoulders down. Her life could have been over, she could have thought, but her faith in Jesus said otherwise, and she is now an internationally known speaker, author, radio host, artist, and founder of a vibrant Christian ministry to those with disabilities. She has even successfully fought back cancer twice. She writes, "My physical weakness is my greatest asset, because it forces me into the arms of Christ every single morning when I get up. The weaker I am, the harder I must lean on God's grace. The harder I lean on him, the stronger I discover him to be, and the bolder my testimony to his grace. Let us be like that, for in him we can live abundantly. God bless you, beloved. God bless you.